Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
And still you, Samson. Amen. And so what we see in Samson's life as it relates to miracles, and before I get started, let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, needing you to speak to our hearts, needing you to direct our paths. We can't hear, we can't move, we can't be, we can't have without anything give us. You have to be the provider for our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for the fact that your word is the life unto our feet, a light unto our feet, and a lamp unto our path. And Lord, as we look into the lives of those people in the scriptures, that you would help us to see what it is that you're trying to tell us using their lives as examples. Let us not look at the Bible as just a nice story, but something that, as the scripture said in the New Testament, these things were written for our example so that we can learn from and take from and grow from the things we read about. So thank you for opening up your word to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So when you think of Samson's life, and of course he's known for great strength and doing things that were really beyond human possibility. And what scripture comes to mind when you think about Samson is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And him, the Bible shows that God literally strengthened his hands to defend the children of Israel. Now you might say, well, why did God choose people like Samson? Because God chooses who he wants to choose. Amen? There is no, really, as we call it, a litmus test for to be chosen by God, other than you have to be available. Amen? I remember a guy, when I first got saved, he used to always say at church, he said, it's not your ability, but it's your availability that allows God to use you. And Samson was available. His mother had promised to dedicate him, as a Nazarite, before he was even born. So he had a call on his life, kind of like Jeremiah, that's where God said, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. So Samson had a destiny that God had laid upon his life even before he came out of the womb. And that tells us that every life is important to God. Amen? Every human being has a role to play that many of us don't know what that role is. And the tragedy is because we have a world that is not really interested in allowing their children to fulfill the call on their lives. We have a world that denigrates or belittles or even completely ignores what God wants to do with lives, that many people's lives go unfulfilled as it relates to the call of God. Amen? There are people that God has chosen but never answered the call because it wasn't important enough. They had bigger things to do, they thought. And so even though Samson, we see his imperfections, and this is, like I said, this is the great thing about Scripture. Scripture really doesn't try to hide the imperfections of human beings. In other words, we don't have a Bible that says Moses was a perfect, sinless man. We know he wasn't, right? I mean, he's a murderer. We have a Bible written by a guy who not only was consenting to the murder of Stephen, he testifies that he did some damage himself. Paul, Saul, however you want to call him, Paul, Saul, later Paul. We have a group of 12 disciples that were power hungry. That they were hanging around with Jesus because they knew he was the King of Kings, and that we gonna get some positions in his court. And they wanted to know, Lord, what position do we get in your court? John and James, can we be first and second? You know, he sit on your right and I sit on your left. Can we be in that? And then we know, of course, they all 12 of them forsook him when it was the chips were down. Peter denied he knew him, having walked with him for 3 years. So the Bible doesn't mince words about the character flaws of the people of Scripture. You know, people have been canonized, and for those that don't know what canonized means, that means you've been made into a saint. And quite frankly, we were saints before we were canonized, because the Bible calls us saints. Amen? We are all saints. Saints just means the called out ones, the chosen ones, the believers, the new creations in the body of Christ. You can say to yourself, I am a saint. Say that with me. Say it and mean it. I am a saint. Now, your name's not going to be put on the plaque somewhere. They're not going to give you a feast day. You know, for those of you that don't know Catholicism, there's so many feast days in there, and I don't know what a feast day means, but John has a feast day. John the Baptist has a feast day. Martha, Mary, Lazarus has a feast day. Everybody has a feast day because they've been canonized as saints. But we know Mary, one of the Marys at least, was a prostitute. We know Rahab was a prostitute, but yet she became one of the great, great 42 generations before Jesus came, his mother, his grandmother. Ruth, a Gentile, who was excluded from the commonwealth of Israel until she acknowledged her dependence on the God of heaven, became a part of the bloodline. So the Bible is a book of redemption, not for us to say, oh man, that guy, he's terrible, but to say, oh man, I could be that guy. Oh man, I was that guy. Amen? I mean, if we think about where we would be had Jesus not changed our lives, it's a scary thought. It really is a scary thought. And so that's why it's so important for us to always remember where we came from. Never forget that you were lost in sin, just like I sang in that song. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Just a little light from heaven flooded my soul. He filled my soul with love and wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And we can never forget where we come from, because when we do, we forget why we're here. Amen? And once you forget why we're here, you start to fall into tradition. And you think you're better than other people. And they can't come where you are because they're not like you. That's tradition. That's what Jesus accused the Pharisees of. He says, you read the law and you strain to do the law, but you are all full of dead man's bones. He says, you look good on the outside, but you're wretched on the inside. And that's why they didn't like Jesus, because he's calling them out when nobody else had the guts to call them out. Nobody would tell them, you're wrong. Annas. I say that all the time. Annas, you're wrong. But anyway, it was Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest. No, Ananias and Sapphira were the two that gave the offering. Annas, with an A-N-N-A-S, not that Annas, was the high priest or the father-in-law of Caiaphas. But they were the main ringleaders that not only killed Jesus, but were out to kill the disciples too. And there was no justification for what they were doing. They knew they were wrong. But they couldn't stop themselves because they had forgotten where they came from. Amen? And so what we see in Samson and look at his life is that God, all things are possible to them that believe. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think according to the power that works in him. And that's what we see in Samson. We see a man who could do things that no other human being had done to that time. I mean, think about it. I remember a preacher was talking about how Samson, how could you beat 1,000 people at one time? I mean, if they all just jumped on you, they could take you out. And, you know, he demonstrated. He said, I got him. Here, let's surround him. I got him. You get that lady. I got him. We got him. We're all on top of him. Oh, he got him. No, somehow they couldn't do it. And all he had was a jawbone. Back then, warfare was not, you were 200 feet away shooting guns at people. You had to come face to face with people. A sword, maybe if you had some arrows, you could stand afar off. But if they had arrows, they couldn't kill him. And he took a jawbone from a donkey and destroyed a whole, it's more than just a regiment, but 1,000 people. Because God had strengthened his arms to do what he had called him to do, which was to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. That was his assignment. Now, he took detours. We know the story about how he compromised himself with Delilah. But he finally got it back again. The Bible says, and let's start at verse 15, chapter 16 in Judges, verse 15. It says, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Now, this is how the enemy works. I always scratch my head because I said, how come Samson, after try two, three, and four, didn't recognize that she was out to take him out? I mean, how come he didn't see that? But you know why he didn't see that? He was blinded. Yeah, he thought he had become self-confident in what God had done in his past. So much so that he put himself in harm's way. Are you with me here? So Jesus said, I was preaching down at the mission, and we were reading about how the devil came to tempt Jesus, and he told him, if you're the Son of God, jump off the top of this building. Because the Bible says the angels will come and catch you and you're not going to be hurt. But Jesus said in response to him, what? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So even though Samson had the ability to defend himself, he was not to just throw himself in a position where he would be forced to do something that God had not told him to do. And that's where he falls down here. So going back to the scripture says, you have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. So my question is, why is she so interested? And why is that so? I mean, you know, maybe it's one of those you tell your wife or your girlfriend everything kind of a thing. But it's just puzzling. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his, I love this, his soul was vexed to death. I don't know what that means, but obviously she broke him down. Huh? And it wasn't her, because we wrestle not against what? But against what? Principalities, powers, the rulers of the... This is the devil that's trying to find where his strength is and bring him to his knees. This is Satan disguised as Delilah. Huh? Isn't that true? Isn't this what it is all about? Isn't this a spiritual battle? God has called Samson to redeem his people. The devil wants to stop him. So he uses her. He finds a weakness in Samson, and he uses it to get at him. That's the devil's MO from then, and he uses the same MO today. MO is modus operandi, which is the Latin word for method of operation. That's an old legal term. So the devil is trying to use her to get to Samson. And so the lesson we see from this message is, don't tempt the Lord your God by putting yourself in harm's way. You might say, well, I don't have any secrets like Samson, but we all have secrets to our spiritual life. And the secret is to walk holy and live righteous. And he wants to take that secret away from you. That's the secret to your spiritual strength, is to walk in righteousness and in holiness before God. As the Bible says, if you hide iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Huh? So he wants you to refrain from iniquity or sin. So here we go. It says that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And this is the key. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. So she could see that he was telling her the truth. Huh? That's why you're not supposed to be going back to this. These are scriptural lessons. Don't be unequally yoked with who? Huh? Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. This is a prime example of that. He was yoked up with her. Yoked up meaning in a relationship that was not beneficial to his call and his ministry that God had placed him with, huh? And then verse 18 says, she saw after he was in his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come upon once more, for he has told me all his heart. And notice that she was getting, 1,100 pieces of silver from everybody. So she was making a lot of money for this deception. And obviously she was pretty good at it. She got what she wanted. Come upon him. And so the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Oh, man. You mean the woman he loves started tormenting him? And his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said what? Notice what he says. I will. Everybody say, I will. He didn't ask God anything. But he says, I will. I'm able to. I can do this. Huh? I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know, everybody read that together, the Lord had departed from him. See, this goes to show us that we could be so deceived that we don't even know that we're not walking with God anymore. I mean, that's dangerous. And we know people in the church that are like that. They're doing whatever they want to do, and then they're naming the name of the Lord. At some point, somehow they have been blinded and they can't tell. But the great thing about Samson is that Samson made a comeback. Amen? This was not the end of the story. He couldn't shake them off, and then the Philistines took him and poked his eyes out. Oh, gosh, can you imagine that? And they weren't nice about it. They probably just took something and just stuck him in the eye. I mean, come on, man, that's horrible. They poked his eyes out, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with a bronze fetter, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. So they were gloating over him. When the people saw him, they praised their God and they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, the one who multiplied our dead. They shouldn't have said that. Because now God is going to get upset and he's going to step in again. So it happened when their hearts were merry. In other words, they got confident in their God. They said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who led him, held him by the hand. Because remember, he's what? He's blind now. He can't go out and come in like he once could. He can't just open the door and walk away like he once could. A child had to lead him. So he had gotten to the place where he was humbled. Amen? And he let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And if he had stopped there, I guarantee you Samson would have walked away from that fight. But he also added, let me die with the Philistines. I said, well, why didn't he want to live? He probably didn't want to live because he was blind. Huh? He didn't want to live blind. So he just said, and Lord, he took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple and braced himself against them on one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, Lord, let me die with the Philistines, and he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell. Now, come on, man. Nobody pushes a building over by themselves. And not the buildings they used to make. But God had empowered him with supernatural strength. This is not Samson's strength. This is supernatural strength. And God... And the Bible says, and the temple fell on the lords of the Philistines and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of his father Manoah. And he judged Israel 20 years. So Samson, this was not a short reign. He reigned 20 years. Over the children of Israel. What's the point of this story? That you can still make a comeback if you fail. Amen? Even though you did the wrong things and you got beside yourself, as they say, I'm about to look up where that expression came from. That don't make sense. I guess you're having an out-of-body experience or something. I don't know. But he got beyond what his ability was given to him by God and thought he could do anything he wanted to do and still do what God wanted him to do. That sound familiar today? I can live any way I want to live. And because I'm covered under grace, I can do, God loves me. Yes, God loves you. Yes, you're covered under grace, but you cannot do what you want to do. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Jesus said that. And he said, let us put off the works of the flesh, which are, and he lists them always. And he says, and let us take on the fruit of the Spirit. So put off the works of the flesh and put on the fruit of the Spirit. That means you have to walk in the truth to walk in the fruit. You can't walk in your own truth and somebody else's truth and not do and be where God wants you to be if it's not his truth. That's why it's so important for us to know what the scriptures say. Because without it, we can just kind of take, hey, that sounds good. That sounds exciting. I want to do that. I mean, to me, you have to be spiritually blind if you don't think that Jesus died, gave his life, was beaten, stripped, humiliated, so that you can just act the way you were acting before you got saved. What's the purpose? What have you changed if that's what you're going to do? What has changed in you? If you're a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why do you then go and back and do the old things again? Because then you're not really changed, if that's the case. Because the scripture says a dog returns to his vomit and a pig to its pigsty. I don't know, that's not the word the Bible uses, but you know what I mean. So we have to change once we are changed. Amen? And we have to allow the Spirit to take control. See, what happens is, and I'm convinced of this, people do not want, and this sounds weird, but this is the truth, people do not want the Spirit of God to control their life. And I'm talking about church folk. Because they don't understand the Holy Spirit. They're confused about him. And he's the one that Jesus said he would send to us, who would do what? Lead us and guide us into all truth. But because we can't relate to the Holy Spirit always, and we pray and we don't seem like we're hearing from him, we feel that, well, we've been born again, so we have the ability, we have a renewed mind, so we can decide what we know. That's not the way it works. It has to be consistent with the scriptures. So the first test in being led by the Holy Spirit, and as I was preaching at the mission, this guy just blurted out, how do you follow the Holy Spirit? That was like, that's a good question. And you follow him first by following what the scriptures teach you. Do what if the scripture says don't lie, guess what? That's what the Spirit is telling you. Don't lie. If the scripture says don't steal, guess what? You don't get a revelation that says, well, God says it's okay to steal if I'm hungry. No, don't steal. And trust him as the source of your supply. He will meet your need. Don't try to meet it yourself. And that's where we get into trouble. We presume to understand what things that we don't understand. And we make steps in ways that are outside the Spirit of God because we're not sure what the Spirit wants us to do. But if you study the Word, he will cut a path for you to walk. Amen? He will show you the way And then as he teach, as you walk in that path, then you begin to hear his voice. Amen? I mean, we've all experienced this. The more you get to learn the word of God, the more you understand, the more you stop challenging what the scriptures say. Because, you know, I mean, we all read the Bible, especially when I first read it. I was like, man, Lord, why'd you do that? You know, why'd you? Golly, that was harsh. I never forget when I read the story of Achan the first time. I thought Achan was going to get off. He said, they all say, okay, Achan, confess, brother. Confess your sins. Confess. Tell us what you did. And Achan, you know, he said, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. I stole some stuff, and here it is. And they says, you troubled Israel? We're going to trouble you? I said, oh, Lord, no, that's not going to happen, really, is it? And sure enough, they stoned the brother. I said, well, Lord, how can he confessed his faults, you know, but he had to pay the price. He was killed by they didn't even blame just him. They took the whole of them out and stoned them. And then burned them after they stoned them. And it's like, wow, Lord, that's harsh. But he was told not to do that. And the consequences of sin is still death. Huh? Romans says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So as I resign to know that God is smarter than me and he knows best, I then submit to his leading. Now, we don't stone people for stealing and do the things like that, although you do go to jail for stealing if you get caught, right? We have to see that God wants you to walk in a certain way. He wants you to obey in a certain way. He wants you to do certain things. So scare anybody and say, well, you know, we're going to stone you. You know, the church does not stone people anymore. Let me just make that clear. Okay? And the process of stoning was their judicial system. Okay? Let me open it up for you a little bit. Because a lot of people, I was watching this movie, I think it was at your house, when a boy killed his mother because she committed adultery. And he was a Christian. Killed her. We don't do that in the church. Because we don't have that jurisdictional authority to do that. You would have to try somebody, because they did try people in the Bible. The lady that was taken in adultery, and I'll say this and then I'll close. You know, the lady that they come with Jesus, they bring her, they says, this woman was taken in adultery. The Bible says we're supposed to stone her. Jesus, what do you say? We do. And he doesn't say anything for a while. And they keep bothering him about it. The Bible says he kneels down and he starts writing on the dirt, in the dirt. And they asked him again, he says, Whichever one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And we know the story. They all looked at their lives, realized they weren't without sin, so they slowly left the building. And Jesus and the lady were sitting there alone. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a person be put to death. And if there is no witness, that person cannot be put to death. That's a trial, people. I know I'm a lawyer. But that's what that was all about. You had to have evidence to kill somebody. Or again, I'm not, that's execution. The difference between execution and killing. That's another problem we have in this country. We can't tell the difference between a murderer and a person that's been executed. You guys do know the difference, right? The murderer broke the law. The execution is the fulfillment of the breaking of the law. But anyway, another time, another day. So Jesus and the woman are standing there. Jesus didn't see the sin committed. So what does he say to her? Woman, where are those thine accusers? And she says, they're gone, Lord. He says, neither can I accuse you. Go and sin no more. He didn't have the evidence to condemn her to death. So we, that's mercy, because they couldn't prove it. How many have been in that situation with your children or your relatives? They couldn't prove it, so they let him off. That's what happened with that woman. He wasn't condoning adultery. He told her, what did he tell her? Go and don't do it again. Not, you're free to go do it again. You know, like most folks, I didn't get caught. I can keep doing it. No, go and sin no more. Be no more bound by that sin. Be no more succumbed to that temptation. Amen? So this is what we see. The power of Samson's life is that God can use one person to change a whole country. One man. He wasn't like Gideon that it had 300. He was one man. And God changed his life, changed the nation through his life. And that is what God is telling us. If we devote ourselves to him, he can just use one person. It can change your neighborhood. It can change your household. It could change your state. It could change where you are. We can change by the power of the Holy Spirit the areas that we have influence over. And it starts with surrendering to him. It starts with crying out to him. And we don't ever see Samson praying except for a couple times. Once when he was thirsty, and once here when he says, Lord, let me die with the Philistines. But we have to be people of prayer. First things first in the body of Christ. We have to ask God and find out what he's calling us to. But he's called us all to pray. Pray for all of our family members. Pray for our friends. Pray for our relatives. Pray for our nation. Pray for those that don't know Jesus. Pray for people that are in bound by false religions. Pray for those that are in Islam and Buddhism, Hinduism. You might say, well, that's arrogant of you. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Don't you want them to find the way, the truth, and the life? Pray that they find it. Their eyes would be open so all this stuff can stop. So that the people that are perpetrating violence will turn. There's been testimonies where guys who used to be terrorists are now believers. It's all on television all the time. I was a Palestinian terrorist, and Jesus changed my life. And now he's a preacher of the gospel. And that's just one instance. I don't want to throw out names, but it happens, and it can happen if God's people would humble themselves and pray. Amen? So this is what we see in Samson. The miracle is that God can use one person to change a whole society. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. We're going to be dismissed.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.